Everybody, this is Hal from the Nation of Conversation. Do you love Tights and Fights as much as we do? Of course you do. You might even love it more, if that's possible. Doubt it. But here's how you can show your love if you haven't done it already. Go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rating, but also a review. Tell other wrestle friends out there what you love about the show, why they should listen to it. You could be like Kid Gold, who says that we're funny, have great information, and we're well put together. Well, Kid Gold, thank you. This is a shirt I've not worn in a while. I did put this outfit together. I certainly do not look like a dummy in a secondhand clothing store. It's all fine. Look, point is, go to Apple Podcasts, leave those reviews, leave those ratings. The more we get, the closer we get to merch, and I know that's what y'all want, so go get it. Do it now. I'll wait.
Okay, we're good to go.
Wait, I got another 10 minutes on this.
I'm just delighted that someone's at home now going like, that's not what I meant by put together. No, he made it to you. He made it funny.
Tights and Fights Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal and there's Danielle and there's guy
I don't know whose song to do. Oh, God.
You don't want to do Gargano? Do you even know Gargano's?
No, I don't know his fucking music.
Just literally cover any Paramore song, and yeah, that's it.
Oh, heaven is up this way. Yeah. There's never gonna be now.
That's literally it.
Oh, it's Johnny Gargano coming to the ring. And it sounds like a Paramore song. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm this treble heart, Hal Lublin. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, Danielle Chad 2 Radford.
Hello.
And the Countess of California, Lindsay Kelp.
Hello.
Hello. That wasn't specific. I don't know why. Whatever.
It's because listen, I'm now aristocracy, apparently.
It's been 2 weeks. I'm back. I did wake up at 5:30 this morning. I did go to sleep after 12:30. So this is going to be a fun ride. We got a ton of things to get to this week. So let's jump right into WWE's second stadium show of the year. Greatest Royal Rumble. Live from Saudi Arabia, if you didn't get that from the 9 hours of commercials. I understand that there were prayer breaks, and that is part of the reason why we were treated to backstage interviews that got no reaction from the live crowd. Let's talk about the Rumble itself. 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
No stakes.
Mm-hmm.
A belt that will never be defended.
Mm-hmm.
Jericho.
Yeah, he was there.
This was a bore. I mean, I love the Royal Rumble. I know Julian and I could not be further apart on this. And if he is writing in the script that it was boring, I can't imagine. You must have thought time was moving backwards while you were watching it.
Oh, my God. It was so dumb. It was the dumbest show ever.
It was the dumbest.
Didn't watch it. It was something we talked about a little bit before we went on air. I understand it's a different culture. I respect that they had to take prayer breaks. Like, I get it. But it's also like, I just couldn't. Once, like, I couldn't watch it live because I'm busy. The GIFs and stuff came out, and I was like, okay, I feel like I watched this, and I just couldn't legitimately bring myself to watch a pay-per-view where some of the folks that are the folks that I am were not allowed to participate. I know cultures are different, but it just, thank you.
I did watch it, but in several thousand segments because I was having a really hard time in a similar way as yourself. Yeah. And even when I was watching it, it was really tough because there was so much propaganda for Saudi Arabia. They just kept stopping to talk about how amazing the country is. And not in the way that they do, where they're like, we're in beautiful Minnesota. It was genuinely like, the infrastructure of this city is incredible. And that's when I was like, okay, I have to turn it off now. I have to turn it off and go away and I'll come back. But it may be in a few days.
And see, that's an interesting thing because from now on, after kind of, again, seeing some of the GIFs and some of the clips online of this,
mm-hmm,
it's definitely going to make me look at our own kind of American propaganda every time, like something like this. You know what I mean? Like every time
I
watch something and be like, oh,
yeah.
You know?
My issue with it was not anything, as we said. I mean, it's not that it wasn't anything to do with Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Obviously, I'm not going to go live there myself because I like having rights and driving a car. Well, you can drive a car there now. But, you know,
yeah,
I like doing all the nice things that a lady can do on her own time. My issue is with the company choosing to take the money and put on the show in the first place.
Right.
Sure.
When they preach women's evolution and being at the forefront of the women's evolution. And it's like, firstly, you're trying to own women's rights and commoditize it and make it something that you own as a company. And then to say it, shout it, preach it, and then immediately go, but we're just going to park it over here for a couple of days because we got a bunch of money to make.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Like, it's this, I am legitimately so incredibly torn because it's like, you know, there were women in the crowd and they were having a great time. And people, when Carmella and like when they saw women on the screen, they popped for them. And it wasn't just because they were scantily clad. The like folks there popped hard for these women entertainers. That's exactly the thing. And, you know, and I joke all the time about like, you know, WWE loves nothing more than talking about their own bullshit barriers that they built that then they broke. And so that makes this especially like, really? Like this was, you guys are like the kings and queens of patting yourself on the back. You know, you're talking all this good game about the women and now you have this opportunity. And it is really hard to find that balance between I respect and understand other cultures, but also like human rights are a fucking, they're a thing. Yeah. And
even like the idea, like watching the Greatest Royal Rumble, and I had to read about it later because it didn't even occur to me because it just wasn't, this just wasn't really on my radar, I guess, was that Sami Zayn wasn't there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because of his, he's of Iranian descent?
It's because of his support for Syria.
Right. Oh, Syrian descent.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. My mistake.
And there's a whole situation there with the Saudi government providing weapons to Syrian rebels and
right
I mean, that's obviously not for this podcast, I imagine, but like that's they didn't clarify why he wasn't there, if they had suggested he not come or if he had asked to not attend.
Right.
We don't know.
And then
know.
there's a whole thing, but where now people are like having death threats.
Yeah.
And
oh my god, the Daivari, that whole sketch, man, that's when I walked away. Mm. And I was like, oh my god, do they think this is not the same as doing Rusev in America? You have literally got someone coming out waving an Iranian flag and shouting at these people. I'm like, whoa.
Right, and it's like, you know, heat is heat, but like this is...
Yeah, there's a difference between having Rusev come out 5 years, or what, 3-4 years ago when he was doing the Putin stuff.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that now here. You wouldn't do that here now because it's way too much of a hot button.
Yeah.
And yet you chose to do that angle there where it's genuinely putting someone's life at risk. Like,
right.
You guys... Ooh.
Well, all right, let's talk about the title matches of the show. Let's get into a little bit more of the content for those five-minute matches that happened, including the latest installment of Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns, this time in a steel cage. Hey, guess what? I don't know how much I care about Roman Reigns anymore.
No.
This feud and Brock Lesnar by extension, I have no problem with Roman Reigns. I like him as a performer. This feud is done. This is Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt, or Bray Wyatt versus Randy Orton, or Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal times 8 million at this point. That belt means nothing to me as a fan, and I know that it ultimately is a piece of leather with metal on it, so it really has no meaning at all, even you know, to a certain degree to the performers themselves. It's just like, all right, that's the difference in the call sheet. But man, as something symbolic for the company that this is the person on top of the card, it means absolutely nothing to me because I know I'm not going to see it for a while. Who cares?
I feel so bad for Roman that it's like, I mean, and also we'd be like, Roman's the chosen one. Everyone's so mad at Roman because he's the chosen one. I'm like, they have driven that boy into the ground. Like, Matt, we just give him the belt.
Do something, because he is working and he is, every year, you can track it. Roman has gotten better and better and better and better. And we know that obviously, like, a lot of the decisions that were made immediately post-Shield did not help him. But, like, he is at a point now where anyone else would have been given that title and just been able to run with it. I don't know. I don't know what you do at this point, other than like, let Brock go do MMA and then come back refreshed. If you insist upon having him still in the company, I think he's cleared now. I'll have to double check. Let him go. Let baby Brock go.
I want my belt back.
Yeah, and
give
do
me my
MMA.
Belt back, Brock.
Give us our belt. And then if he decides to come back, or when he decides to come back, it'll be fresh again because he's been gone, and he's been gone kicking ass or not kicking ass or whatever will happen to him when he goes back to MMA.
And now we're, it seems like we're going to have another match because clearly the rules of a cage match, last time I checked.
I'm already not sleeping.
The rules of a cage match, correct me if I'm wrong, are the first person whose feet hit the ground.
Yeah.
Which Roman's did.
Roman Dom fucked up, yeah.
While Brock's feet were up in the air, comically so.
Yeah, it looked like he was getting some kind of exam.
Yeah.
It was very confusing. Even when you watched it, it felt like the commentators didn't quite know what to do.
Right.
Because they were like, I guess it's whatever Brock says it is. Hits
yeah,
the ground
on his
first.
Back. His
yep,
back.
It's his back.
Thing,
I guess his
words.
Back. I guess it's his back. I don't know. And then the next week, the next, Monday on Raw, they'd be like, I don't know, you guys. I guess I don't know. And he's like,
well,
let this die.
He is so muscular, he's got feet on his back.
That's true.
That's why.
Possible.
That's why it happened. In the meantime, Roman Reigns has a date with Samoa Joe at Backlash.
Fucking yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I like it. They're so good together.
Me too. It's going
to
be great.
I want my Samoan Joes to fight.
I know.
So that ended up tying into SmackDown's title match between Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles. And unlike Mania, we had a clear protagonist and antagonist here. And it ended in a double countout. I kind of want to ask what we think about it, but at this point, it seems like the show took place almost out of canon, except for Titus.
It was for nothing. I don't hate it.
And I know they're talking about it.
If it had happened on SmackDown, I would have been like, okay.
Because
we're building heat on this feud. We're making, now it's not just Nakamura king of the low blow, which is my favorite thing. I don't, Mr. Austin, I respectfully disagree. I can watch this go on all day. I can watch a supercar all the live long day of Nakamura punching him in the balls. I like that AJ flipped and went crazy and beat the ever living out of him. I'm fine with that, but I just didn't need to see it there. And now we have another one. Yay.
Another one.
Another one.
So Shinsuke and AJ have what could be their final one-on-one match at Backlash. This time it is no DQ. I don't know if it's going to be the last one, though. Usually it's at least 3 months. It seems like that's going to be a feud for the summer, would be my guess.
Feud for the summer.
The greatest gift Miss Lovato will ever get to any of us.
Does Shinsuke need to win the title to remain the top heel on SmackDown?
I want to see it. I really want it. He looks so good. I don't know if he needs it, but I want it.
This is one of those ones where I'm genuinely like, all these guys. Heel Knock has to get that title.
Mm-hmm.
Has to. I don't know if I need it right now, but I do need it eventually.
Stop losing on pay-per-views. That's what I need.
Yeah, that is what I need.
That's like, what?
And if it makes him, back into dangerous Nakamura that is, will come in and strong style your face off, then yes.
So another
strong style me, daddy. Sorry. I had to.
New t-shirt. Another wrinkle was added to this feud when one of AJ Styles' oldest opponents confronted him. Here's a clip.
Oh, AJ, look at you out here making a spectacle out of yourself.
So
filled with rage and anger that you've lost focus on what's really dangerous around you. Whether it be you or Shinsuke Nakamura who are victorious this Sunday at Backlash, I'm coming to beat you down and take the WWE Championship.
Listen, I like heel Shinsuke. Step aside, buddy. Let Samoa Joe in there. It is his time. Give him that belt and let him have it for a year. Because guess what? He'll be on TV every week until he gets hurt.
Yeah. Aww. It's so hard because they both need it, too. They just keep volleying Joe from position to position to position where he never ends up with anything.
Yeah. Right?
And you can't keep doing that to him.
You guys know I read comic books. I try to think of Samoa Joe as like Wolverine, where it's like, who knows where he's going to end up or who he's going to fight. You know, Wolverine's in like 20 books a month. We don't question it. Don't question where Samoa Joe ends up.
We're just trying to sell books. Please.
Yeah, please buy our books.
He even managed to cut that promo before the Great Royal Rumble when he managed to sell both of his upcoming matches, where it was like, I'm going to be in that ladder match and I'm going to win it. Then I'm going to go to Backlash. I'm going to win that too. And now it's like, even this one, and again, he's selling two matches in one. So I'm going to beat Roman Reigns. Then I'm going to come back and kick your ass. And this isn't even scheduled yet. Like, he is too good.
He's too good.
Too good.
It's so hard. There are a lot of great talkers in WWE. I think the two best, if my back is to the wall, would be The Miz and Samoa Joe.
Can I get the two of them on an episode of Miz TV? Because I deserve Christmas.
Sure.
And then Kevin Owens shows up.
Oh, and Kevin Sammy Owens and Sami Zayn. Why did they just keep them? Let the four of them. Just put the four of them. Just put the four of them,
just
please.
Just put the four of them
no
anywhere.
No more 5-hour Greatest Royal Rumbles. Just 5 hours straight of the Kevin Owens show, or the Kevin and Sammy show mixed with Miz TV.
Oh, just
I'll watch it.
Oh, dinner make it for like, four.
Let's just do all the WWE Network shows with them, one after the other. It's like Ride Along, Table for Three, like all of them. Let's just get them all on.
Camp WWE.
Yeah, too boring. Yes. I don't care. Like, just go for it.
Legends House. They're just everywhere. Swerve.
It's just them, like, another sketch happens and another superstar is doing it, and then all of a sudden Kevin's in the camera like, Swerved, it's me again.
Was it one
you
of
You don't
the...
deserve me, but this is what I'm doing.
6 times 30 of that. I'll watch it.
In that first episode of Swerve, didn't they hide Hornswoggle in nachos?
Yeah, that first episode of Swerve is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my
life. And they, like, shocked Zack Ryder?
Here's the thing. The saddest thing about that first episode of Swerved is that people thought they were actually getting opportunities to prove themselves.
Yeah.
So Zack Ryder thought that he was, like, co-hosting something or getting a chance to do something on the network. Booker T thought he was getting a cooking show. And at the end, they're also...
Also would watch.
Yeah, they're also sad because they're like... Shit, I thought I was being taken seriously for my career.
They look so sad. Some of them look so sad.
And so that's why they suddenly had to switch the swerves to, like, what happens if you're in a shopping mall? Because, like, the ones that they were doing were ones that were like, hey, we're going to give you your own show. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to tape this pilot. And at the end of it, it's like, so not only did you...
Physically shock me.
Yeah, not only am I physically in pain, not only am I not... getting this opportunity that I was kind of banking on and probably texting my family about, but then also you humiliated the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a prank.
No,
that's the kind of prank
mean.
That Vince McMahon plays on people where he's like, ha, you thought you were going to have a career.
Is there anything sadder than Boogeyman with the lights being turned out on him?
It's mean. That it's show was mean.
It's so mean.
I imagine that he sings somewhere out there at his bedroom window every night before he goes to sleep.
Because he's got worms in his mouth.
Yeah. That's right. A couple more notes before our break. Man.
Who expected this to go to American Tail?
This is like the only time we've ever gotten Lindsay to sing with us, by the way.
Because Lindsay loves American Tail more than anything. I watch it every Thanksgiving. It's my Thanksgiving movie.
It's your Thanksgiving movie?
It's about a little immigrant mouse that comes to America to make a better life for himself and his family.
I know, but that's not Thanksgiving.
It is Thanksgiving. Well, no, it's not. But it's about,
no,
like,
it's how my family got here if we were
America.
Mice. Yeah.
And I'm an immigrant in America.
You
and
are.
I am giving thanks for that. So I watch that shit. Shut up, Hal.
No, I love it. I saw American Tail theaters, girl. You don't have to tell me about Fievel.
I don't agree with the second one, though. I mean, Fievel could go west.
You're going west.
No.
You're going west with Fievel.
I have the DVD, but no.
As God is my witness, we will all go west. Fievel, hit it. All right. What do we think of Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy as tag champions? Is this working for you?
I'm still having fun.
I don't have an alternative for it, so let's go with it.
Yeah, I'm not sick of it yet. And they keep doing... weird shit, which is all I ask of this pairing.
Right.
It gave us that magical t-shirt of the Miz Taraj, but they just stuck the faces. So I'm like,
All right.
Just keep giving me weird shit. I'm in.
Great. If you've got any thoughts on everything we've talked about so far, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. Don't forget about that gram,
yes.
Yo.
And thank you for letting us try to talk about a very nuanced and difficult topic.
Yeah.
We're trying.
I'm sure we all got it wrong. I can't wait to get dragged. We've got even more things to dive into from the week in wrestling. That's up next on Tights and Fights.
Hello, are you looking for a new comedy podcast? In which case, can I draw your attention to the Beef and Dairy Network podcast? It's a fictional industry podcast for the beef and dairy industries. It won Best Comedy at the 2017 British Podcast Awards, and it features wonderful guests such as Greg Davis.
To my knowledge, it's the only cow circus that's ever existed in this country. In rural Russia, every small town has a cow circus.
Josie Long.
You should have a beef. Have a beef with them. I have a beef with you. I will have a beef with you. Come round my house and I'll have a beef with you.
And Andy Daly.
That virus never existed. There was never any such thing as a mad cow disease. That was all an illusion that Big Lamb came up with.
That's the Beef and Dairy Network podcast. Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts from. And I would recommend starting at episode one. Bye.
Tights and Bites podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
Once they'd left the Saudi Arabian desert for Montreal, the two stars of the show were Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. In keeping with WWE principles, they also lost their tag match later that night. Great. But how much fun was it to hear how popular they were? The white hot,
hot
heat.
Get me that Wii shirt. Get me that Wii shirt.
I want that Wii shirt. Those special Canadian boys.
Oh, the best.
And then they have, you always have to lose in front of a hometown crowd.
Yeah, you have to.
Brett.
whether you like it, whether you know it's going to happen or not, you will lose in front of your...
Someone in the crowd saying, like, Montreal, please screw Roman. And it was like,
wow.
I think it was Roman. It may not have been. Please correct me in the group. Someone will have seen it. But it was like, you guys.
It was probably Roman.
Wow.
They hated Roman a lot in that crowd.
Okay,
so.
Montreal, I see you.
That crowd also got a really great main event for the night with Seth Rollins defending his Intercontinental Championship for the second time in 2 days. Real fighting champion. The one part of Greatest Royal Rumble that I enjoyed, not the one part, was the ending to that ladder match with Seth Rollins just leaping onto the ladder out of nowhere and stealing the title. Yep. I thought that was a great, it made the belt seem important. It made him seem smart and determined to do anything to keep it. That coupled with the title defense on Monday night, how much faith does that give you in his ability to help elevate that title for as long as he holds it?
Yeah, I mean, they were hot as for him. They were screaming that place down.
Yep.
So they were deeply in love with Mr. Seth. The match between Finn and Seth is the first match in such a long time that I remember. I genuinely sat holding a pillow in front of me going like, I don't know what's going to happen and I don't know who I want to win. And like, oh my God, Finn could get this. And like, oh my God, what's going to happen? And with all those false finishes, all those... Oh, close calls. I thought it was such a good match. I could watch those two fight or anything else they want to do all day long.
Fuffle-wuffle.
Yep.
There are a handful of feuds in the history of professional wrestling that you could watch those two people fight anytime, anywhere.
Yep.
And you know it's going to be a match you'll enjoy. The Rock and Steve Austin are probably a pair like that. Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. I could watch them wrestle. I don't remember them having a bad match or a match where I wasn't super invested right away. And now I think Seth Rollins and Finn Balor have a chance to have that same thing
Sammy
in the confines
Kevin,
of WWE.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sammy, Kevin, Bayley, and Sasha.
Bayley, Sasha. Yeah. You could watch them wrestle forever. Yeah.
Charlotte,
or Sasha.
Sasha.
Yeah. Charlotte, anyone, I guess, at this point. Wow.
Jericho and Shawn Michaels.
Oh. Well, maybe not right now. Maybe not if they would like to pop in today.
I mean, hey, look.
Chris. Have a think about yourself, Chris. You've got a cruise to get ready for.
Get ready for your cruise.
And you're going back to New Japan. He's doing more New Japan dates.
Well, good. Let him. Maybe he could like train for them.
Listen, I don't know if either of y'all have been on a cruise before, but that's not something you get in shape for. It's something you get out of shape because. It's a decommissioned cruise ship. They just got like a bunch of dinghies and tied them together.
But Jericho has actually bought this boat. Yeah. He's bought it with his own money.
All of the fans have a shift getting the barnacles off the side.
It's the boat from one crazy summer.
It's like Scientology.
Yeah.
Like, he's actually starting his own Sea Org. This is going to be amazing.
It's the Sea Winds. What is it? Sea Winds 8 or Sea Winds?
Admiral Jericho. Now I'm double in.
Let's talk about a few more single matches of note. What do you think of Bobby Roode's losing streak to Elias?
I want to like this more than I think I do.
Mm.
Maybe if they hadn't had 17 commercials during the match, you would have been able to invest a little more.
I think so. Because I do think it's a really fun pairing. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a really fun pairing. And I've seen some people online being like, oh, it's boring or it's boring. No, like, I want to like it. I like, but yeah. I think that both of them together could work really well. Just like how, aside from the theme music, Bob Roode is so serious. and then and mix that with an Elias. You know, how many remixes of Glorious do I want to see Elias do? Eight?
Yeah, eight's a good number.
On the low side.
On the low, that's on the low side.
On
that's
the
a
low
minimum.
Side, eight. In her first singles match in some time, Ruby Riott defeated Sasha Banks. Is she the clear singles star out of Riott Squad? Or you think the other two can also be spun up? Because, you know, we all know stables and teams generally are built to make stars. And I think she's the star. She's a star in NXT, as far as I was
There's
concerned.
There's a reason they made her the
men. Yeah, exactly. I mean, she's the better wrestler for sure.
Yep, great talker.
I mean, yeah, I mean, she is more experienced than the pair of them, right? I think I'm right in saying I'm only vaguely familiar with her indie work. But I know, obviously, Liv Morgan is still so new, and she was straight into NXT, right? Or, like, an NXT product.
Right.
So I think, you know, she has an advantage in that. From that perspective, but also, like, I think she's good.
She is incredibly good. And, you know, I am hoping that all of them get a chance to show off their single stuff, because I think that, like, the best stables are the one where it's like they all have a role, a very defined role, and they can all kick your ass in singles matches.
Like Undisputed Era are doing right now.
Yeah,
like any one of those guys could come in and kick your ass.
Exactly.
And you know it.
And that's what I want from any kind of stable. I think that it's, you know, I think it's great that we still have a woman stable. I want all of them to have a chance to showcase and be really strong.
Yeah, I mean, and Undisputed Era strikes me, and before Roderick Strong joined, as a group identity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you've got a great tag team. Adam Cole, obviously, is a star in his own right.
Also, post-production supervisor on Avenger Infinity Wars, which I don't know if
great
work. That was really hard for everyone else in that cinema when everyone was going through some really hard times, and I'm sat in the corner going, baby.
Yeah, I didn't look
really
at it
quietly.
And go, well, he really can do it all.
Yeah,
but the in comparison to the Undisputed Era, the Riott Squad feels like Ruby Riott, who is a much more clearly defined character, whereas you have Sarah Logan is like, dresses like she's Eric Rowan's
sister.
She's
a wildling.
She's a wildling. Yeah. But we get that she's like the tough country girl, sort of, but we don't know much. We don't know that much about her. And then Liv Morgan is
she
a character.
She has a blue tongue.
Yeah.
Right. Like, they're selling, like, beautiful blonde woman. I feel like that's that's all they've conveyed.
I feel like we're trying to get like
I'm
a
not
Harley
saying that's
Quinn
all she
vibe
is.
From
yeah,
her.
She's
like a,
she is.
But
more,
Alexa Bliss gives off way
no,
more.
No, I know,
of that.
I know.
Yeah, and I think that she like her gimmick and Carmella's obviously ascended. Carmella
it was
ascended
very tightly.
But they were a very their gimmicks together. I was like, why do you need both of these gimmicks? They're both the same, because I think Liv was also like
she was
from,
the Jersey girl.
From
she was,
Jersey.
And her gimmick in NXT was very heavily about being from Jersey.
Right.
It's like, but we just did that. Remember how we just
Staten
did that?
Island. It's not the same place, but it
no, but also like she was she was aligned with like Jersey. You know what I mean? Like it was just very, I don't know. We don't look, not everyone from the Jersey Shore TV show was from Jersey either.
No.
A lot of them were for Staten Island. Well, one of them. Well, Angelina. Well, then she left. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine.
But yeah, we just need to see more of them. I think they've done a pretty good job. Like, they have defined characteristics in that you could pull them out. Like, if you made them silhouettes, you could pull those girls out. You know who they
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely.
I can give you a rough, like, a 10-word bio on what each of them is. Mm-hmm. But we need to see more of them individually before they get crushed.
And I want that.
Right.
Like, I absolutely want that. Yeah. But the danger is that Ruby is going to be the only person on there. They're always going to be hench folks.
Yeah.
And then they're always going to be jobbers. Or they're always going to be whatever. And, like, I want both of them to get opportunities to show how good they really are.
Oh, my God. Imagine if we had a women's tag match and they could, like, tag together and, like, do that and then get a belt and then...
What would that be like?
Let's
Well, Danielle.
Hey, Lindsay.
Hey, Danielle.
Hi. Can you tell me a story about the women's tag match?
Well,
want to hear a story about
time,
the women's tag match.
Women worked for a company where they were treated entirely equally to the men in that company.
Oh,
and someone
like?
Sat down and said, there are so many talented women in this company. Perhaps we should give them something as a reward to recognize how much hard work they do. And that thing was a tag team belt.
Agnes is my favorite bedtime story.
And it was a glorious time. And all of the women were recognized. And they were encouraged. And they felt like it was somewhere they wanted to be. And the women watching at home felt like they were recognized and that they could support this company. And everyone lived happily ever after.
Can I have some water? No, that's it now.
It's not true. I made it up. Now back. I need you back, Danielle.
Oh, sorry. I was really excited.
I was like ready to go to sleep. Like the best spot. Like, oh,
this is like, oh, everything is so cozy and warm. Why do I feel so loved?
No, it's like I'm going to marry Poppins here, but then I'm going to Margaret Thatcher you. Like snap.
Whoa, the Iron Lady's here. Watch out.
Oh, she's got a steel chair.
My God, the Iron Lady
with a steel chair.
Oh, my God.
And now we have my gimmick. So, like, there we go. I've always wondered.
My God, the Balkans have a family. What do you think? Over on SmackDown, Charlotte and Becky face the Iconics and Carmella. Boy, it's so nice to see the Iconics on the main roster.
Oh, that was such a good match.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that
really,
match.
Really,
just let him go. Get him in there and let him go. Fantastic.
Did we learn anything from that? Oh, yeah, we learned that the women are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they can main event, and it was the best match. I mean, that Finn and Seth, yes, but also this two, for me, two best matches of this week.
I agree.
One more SmackDown note before we move on to other shows. The New Day versus The Bar. This has happened already, yeah?
No, I think it
Have they not? I feel like that's who The Bar beat to win the titles.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, I'm thinking Bar Usos, right?
Yeah.
How did you like the match between Xavier Woods and Sheamus? I mean, they're good. They're good.
I always like to see Woods in singles competition.
So. I do, especially since he has gotten, like, and I'm sure that he was always as good. We just couldn't see it. But you can really see how good he is now.
Yeah.
They're really giving him a showcase to show off. You know, dim abs, dim flips, dim muscles.
He's such a good storyteller, too.
Such a good storyteller.
They both are. I mean, like, they're all three guys in New Day are great storytellers. Mm-hmm. Sheamus and Cesaro are both great storytellers. Yeah. Like, it's nice to see. It's a good, like, marquee matchup.
Yeah.
It's just nice to see. It's nice to see him because, like, we know what Big E can do. We know what Kofi can do. We know what The Bar can do. Xavier is the one who has, like, had less solo time where he's really been showcased. So I always enjoy watching a solo match with Xavier.
I'd like to see one of them with some gold. And I'd like it to be Big E.
Yeah.
I think he's due for a solo
championship.
Even if it's, like, the U.S. title.
Yeah, and they have that built-in gimmick.
And they can do it together.
Yeah, they have that built-in gimmick of a win for me is a win for three or whatever.
It could be that all they defend that under the free bird rules. That would be fun to see.
Right.
We are the United States champion.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot of fun. Let's move on to NXT. Bit of news there. Johnny Gargano was all set to have an NXT title match against Aleister Black when this happened.
The following contest, scheduled for one fall, is for the NXT championship.
Attacking Johnny Gargano! Come on, man! I almost forgot what I was talking about, people who could have matches forever. These two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who put on the greatest wrestling match I've ever seen in my entire life.
Tommaso on Twitter.
Yes.
He's so good.
He's
so good.
So he is living the gimmick on Twitter.
Yeah.
They're amazing. I agree. Also, fight forever.
Yeah. 100%.
There's really nothing else to say. They are very good wrestlers.
NXT needs to get better paramedics because their paramedics are dreadful. Took them so long to get on that stretcher. And they're like, you can't even get down the hallway because there's too many of you.
Well,
your muscles are so suspiciously
isn't
big.
Isn't there like a medical, is there not a medical school or like a something on campus?
Well, that's the thing. Full Sail, they're learning the production. Right next door is the EMT school and they're just learning. So they're like,
that
wait.
That would explain why they couldn't work out how to get the neck brace on him.
Yeah.
And then like just tried to put it on the wrong way around. And
they're all in
training. Picked up the back of his head and I was like, you guys.
Yeah, they're like over by the gurney. They're like, cross the arms, do no harms. All right, let's get him up on there.
Take me
one,
out of this.
Two, four, shit. Wait, should he be face down? Wait, get the textbook. On to 205 Live. Did you enjoy the match between Cedric and Kalisto at the Greatest Royal Rumble?
All of the clips I saw was really good.
Yeah.
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 It was good.
Yeah.
205 Live is really working its way into my heart.
Yay.
And There have been so many tag matches there lately. Do you think it's time for them to get tag titles? Do you think that would work with that roster? Are they too small of a roster? Because ultimately you want, again, you want everybody to vie for the championship, right?
If they have their own, if you're your own division, and especially if you're your own division and you have your own show and you don't interact with the rest of the roster, like, if you are a division that is never going to get an opportunity to fight for the main tag titles, then yes, give them tag titles. That's part of my thing with the women is, like, they're never going to be able to fight for the tag titles, so give them their own tag titles if you can't do that. So, yeah, absolutely, 100%. God, those tag matches, are you fucking kidding me? Yes.
Yeah. Buddy Murphy has come into his own as the main antagonist on the show.
Look at him!
Right?
No. Who knew?
However, Drew Gulak got his win back against Kalisto by making him tap out to the Gulak. I love that.
I love him. He's my best.
He's the pride of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Is he the uncrowned king of 205
Live? Yes, I shout this from the rooftops every time I talk about this. I love him so much. I just want him. I can't believe he hasn't had the belt.
Drew, from the outreaches of Montgomery and Bucks County to the southern reaches of Delaware County.
No one knows what you're saying.
We love you. Oh, people know.
Which one is the one where they ate poop?
That's just Friday in Philadelphia. Oh, you guys don't eat horse shit? Where are you from? Buckingham Palace? Please.
Oh, Lindsay is actually from Buckingham Palace.
Yes. Oh, do you mind?
Do they eat shit there?
No, not on Fridays.
See, we're of the people. What Philadelphia means.
You eat fish
means.
On Fridays.
Eat horse shit of the people. Honestly. It's Greek, if you must know. If you've got any thoughts on the week in wrestling, let us know about them.
Or eating poop.
If you're in need of horse shit, we're an inclusive community. We're down with it. We're allies of you, horse shit eaters.
Rock that back.
No.
We're just gonna
inclusive. All are welcome.
Walk.
Eat your
walk
shit.
Walk.
Eat your horse shit.
It's super not good for you guys. We're not condoning it.
Do you know what broke the Liberty Bell? Two people fighting over a piece of horse shit they wanted to eat. They ran into it and knocked it over.
Man, I need to know this stuff for my civics test.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You want to become a citizen? You better know. I pledge allegiance to the horse shit America. To the Republic for which it stands.
This is taking a turn.
And because it's under the guise of a Super Bowl championship, like anything could have happened that night. Like, oh, a guy chopped down a skyscraper with his bare hand. You'd be like, yeah, you're right, he did. We finally won a Super Bowl. I mean, like, this isn't the Purge, but, like,
wasn't it?
Somebody tipped a Prius. That was dumb. Jumping off of the awning at the Ritz-Carlton. That was dumb. Eating the horse shit was dumb. It is dumber only than the guy who punched the horse after the NFC Championship game. And I keep saying this, pretty sure it was the same guy. So maybe it's just one. Hey, Ted.
I thought you were going to say pretty sure it was the same horse.
I probably was.
Horse's revenge.
Yeah, you don't know what the fight that those two have had.
You got to get back. The horse like doesn't want to go patrol. It's like, you got to get back out there. You got to get back up on you.
Hey, if you got any thoughts on the week in wrestling, let us know about them at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and Instagram. And hey, why don't you enter in hashtag horse poop eaters and see what you find? Or better yet, don't. We'll be right back.
Clear your cache.
Van Wilder, the horse poop eaters. I would watch that.
Hi, I'm Allie Gertz.
And I'm Julia Prescott, and we're the host of Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons. We are a Simpsons podcast brand new to the Maximum Fun Network, and every episode we cover a different episode of The Simpsons that is a favorite of our special guests.
We've had guests that are showrunners and writers and voice actors like Nancy Cartwright, all people that have worked on The Simpsons, and we've also had guests like Weird Al and people that are on the Max Fun Network already, and each week we will talk to a very cool guest about their favorite episode, and it is so much fun, so if you like The Simpsons, come listen to Everything's Coming Up, Simpsons.
All right, smell you later.
Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
Welcome back to Tights and Bites. I'm Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
Every week we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling and horse poop with you. This is the Three Count. Wilbur. Danielle, you're up first. What do you want to put over?
Lindsay's like, the worst thing we ever did was call cookies biscuits.
And while you're doing it, I'm just going to.
So I am putting over announcer Mauro Manala has an upcoming documentary about him dealing with his mental illness on Showtime. It is called Bipolar Rock and Rolla. I'm really excited. He has been a huge advocate for destigmatizing mental illness, which is fantastic. He's been doing it for a minute. I'm not just saying this because he followed me on Twitter, but you guys, here's a clip.
Until next week, I'm The Voice reminding you, you're not as good as I am.
Oh my God, he looks so young.
He was just a natural.
So much energy.
When it came to a microphone, he had like a switch that he put on. He was a different person.
He'd have these breakdowns, rage, just the brain chemicals. We didn't know anything about it.
You know, cheer up. Go outside, get some fresh air.
Yeah, fuck you, JBL.
Just shut up and listen.
That's JBL. He's saying JBL stuff right there.
Was that him saying JBL stuff?
I'm pretty positive that JBL probably said that stuff.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, but yeah, so check that out. I'm very excited to watch that. It comes out sometime this week. But yeah, super excited. And yeah, we gotta destigmatize some shit as someone who has dealt with mental illness. It means a lot to have someone in the community that's so vocal about something so important. Okay, bye.
Lindsay.
I am putting over another documentary. This is on the WWE YouTube channel. It's the WWE Chronicle, because we needed another branch of WWE. Don't you do it, Albert. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. It's nothing to do with horses or pooping or eating poop from horses. It is a documentary about Shinsuke Nakamura and his road to WrestleMania. It covers... really, really great. It's only like 37 minutes long. It gives you a really great insight into Nakamura, who he is, how he's living in the States, his life, what he's up to. And it goes right up to just before Mania. Shows him from winning the Rumble to Mania. And it doesn't cover the heel turn, but I can watch those low blows in my own time. But it's a really, really, really great 37 minutes. You get to see him doing some surfing. He likes that. You get to see him eating some ribs in Texas. He likes that. I might love him. I might actually love him.
That's fair.
His beautiful, happy face, the way it lights up whenever he talks about wrestling, it was 37 minutes of joy.
I don't know who I am, but still looking for myself. I'm trying to enjoy everything. Life.
Also, I feel like you could use it for ASMR. Because the whole episode just has these like calming atmospheric sounds and then his just very calming voice.
One time in Philadelphia, horse poop.
No.
It was almost as good as ribs.
Guys, I don't know. I don't know whether it was real or not, this trip that Titus O'Neil did. If you know, don't tell me. I like the mystery. It seems like it could have been choreographed, but it also seems like it could have just happened because he wound up real far under. Just that.
So fun.
And it's
so
great.
Good.
I'm a terrible human being, well established on this show. If you show me a YouTube clip that is 20 minutes of people falling down and falling off shit, I'm going to laugh real hard. I'm going to laugh so hard, especially if they're like, it's prom, and then tumble ass over apple cart down the fucking stairs. Love it.
It's always funny.
I do know this. The thing that felt genuine was Corey Graves' reaction to it.
Yes.
And I just want to share somebody being taken by surprise and unable to recover and call a match. Here's a little taste of that.
He's had dinner with many princes and very important people, and he just...
What? Oh, my God. What the heck? What did Titus just... I can't believe what I just saw. Did that really happen?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Did that happen?
He's genuinely so happy.
Trying to slide into the ring.
Let's just move on and forget about it.
I can't believe this.
Okay, now.
Oh, my God. Here's the replay. Titus O'Neil trying to get into the ring. And Titus O'Neil tripped and went headfirst through the apron underneath the ring. And Titus is ticked off now.
I just might want to check the size of
this. This reminds me. Oh, my God.
Corey is me.
My wish for everybody out there in the Nation of Conversation is that once a day you're able to laugh with that kind of unfiltered joy. Like Corey Graves watching Titus O'Neil trip and go 75% of the way underneath the ring apron. That is my wish for all of you and the thought I leave you with on this fine Thursday. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts were Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. I'm still working on Swag IQ. It's still happening.
Are.
Sunday through Friday. Sunday through Thursday, it's at 5 p.m. Pacific time. And it's at 10 a.m. Pacific time on Fridays. You can win actual cash and a quiz show that I write. There are wrestling questions from time to time in there. You will find little Easter eggs. It's a really fun time. You can
little
go to play.
Little bits of Hal.
Yeah, little bits of Hal. I'm always right off camera, so you know I'm in the room when it's being done. You can go to playswagiq.com to download it on Android or iOS.
So Nuclear Heat Wrestling is happening in, it is happening at the High Hat at 5043 York Boulevard. That is next Wednesday, May 9th. I'm not performing, but I'm definitely going to be there hanging out, and you're going to see a lot of wrestling folks. Lindsay's going to be there.
Gonna be there too.
A bunch of us are going to be there. We're going to be drinking and having a good time.
Wait, where is this?
It's in Highland Park.
Nobody told me about it.
Well, yeah, it's in Highland Park.
Here, Hal.
I could be there.
We talked about it on the podcast last week.
I'm not going.
Yeah, it's from
you have to book me there.
But yeah, it starts at like 8. Proceeds go to Help Dogs, which is dope.
Nice.
Wrestlers, Taya Valkyrie, Luchasaurus, Hot Young Briley, Brody King, Tyler Bateman, Eric Watts, Bronson, Super Panda, Ray Rosas, Peter Avalon. Hot Young Briley has offered, if I plug this, that he will give me extra... he will give me extra sessions. And I was like, dude, I'm already so many sessions behind. Like, I don't need extra of a thing I'm not going to show up for. So I am telling you, in full disclosure, I have been offered the opportunity to plug this and get something out of it. I am not getting anything out of it other than I want you guys to go see some really good wrestling. Because, again, Ryan gave me the opportunity. And I was like, yeah, I'm still like a million sessions behind. We're going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm going to put over me and Danielle too. That sounds fun.
Great.
And also, please download Full Coverage Podcast if you want to hear more of my nonsense. There's only two of us on that, so it's like an extra percentage that I can't do math of me being silly about makeup. It's called Full Coverage Podcast. Check us out. And also, I have books. Please buy them.
It's buy her books. Buy her books. Yeah. Buy her books.
Buy her books. It's an extra 17%.
Yes.
Our producer is Youth and Consequences, Julian Burrell. Julian, it's been a couple weeks. What are you benching up? What are you up to? Because you're looking straight jacked.
Swole. I got to go to my trainer this week. I've actually been kind of lazy.
Go to your trainer? What do you? What is it, like a dump truck that you just bench press?
He's got a wedding to get ready for. It's about to be the swolest wedding.
Yeah. Are you gonna like hold, like just like rip out of the...
That's for the first dance. He's just gonna flex and it's gonna shred off of him, and he's gonna be like AC Slater in a unitard.
I just want me to Cesaro my way out of my wedding.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, that's all
yes,
I want now.
King.
Senior producer of Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter and on Instagram. If you love the show, I said it at the top, I'm going to say it again. Hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, share us with all your friends, and write a review. We need those reviews. We need your words, people. Thank you so much to the Maximum Fun members who have contributed to this specific show to make it possible and keep the lights on when we're in here. We thank you so much, especially on the tail end of the most recent Max Fun drive. You are good people. You are all our people. You are good people. You are our people. And we appreciate you. We'll be back next week for even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
And not horse poop.
Some horse poop.
No!
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.